Please go ahead. This call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the DESA call on the 26th of January 2012. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Marcella Mazzioli, Jörg Schweiger, Rafik Damak, Takayasu Matsuru, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Scott McCormick, Jacques Latour, Katrina Sataki, and Wim de Gazelle. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Julie Headland, Patrick Jones, Bart Postrinko, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. We have apologies from Mark Costas, Rick Willem, and Edmund Chun, and a note from Don Blumenthal, who might be arriving late. I would like to remind you all to please all state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Natalie, and welcome, everybody. We've got sort of an interesting agenda today, partly because I've sort of tripped over the fact that it may just be that the way we're tackling this doesn't scale, and so I want to try some ideas out on you all. So for those of you who are waiting in breathless anticipation to vote, rest assured that we will be doing that. But before we do that, I just want to take a small detour to touch bases on a couple of things. What you see on the screen right now is that little architecture diagram that I sent out to the list earlier this week. And the reason I want to very quickly go through this is because, because of this. Let me show you the other thing that I'm working on. And that may be a little too small. Let me see if I can make it bigger. And a sort of... What's happening, I think, is that we've got a permutations and combinations problem where we've got a series of four layers that if we evaluate all permutations of all layers, we're going to wind up having thousands, perhaps, of threat event, threat source, vulnerability, and then it goes on. I just stopped drawing the drawing at that point, combinations and permutations. And so I think that what we need to do is step back and say, all right, at each stage of the game, what we're really about is sort of pruning off branches on this tree. And it's not that we'll ignore them. I think what we need to do is document them. But I don't think we can evaluate them all. I think we have to basically create the tree and then say at each stage of the game, these are the ones that appear to be the most important to us right now. And so those are the ones that we're going to go into a detailed analysis of. And we'll leave the rest of the tree for another day. And it could be a subsequent group, or it could be a change in circumstance that says, well, this threat source that we didn't think was a very big deal has suddenly turned into a very big deal. And so we need to come back and do the full analysis on it, even though the folks back in the original DSSA did not. Now it's important, and we need to do the detailed work. I think what we do is we leave behind a framework that makes it easier to do that, but I just don't think we can evaluate them all. And so I just want to take a moment to go to the beginning of that tree, which is really the architecture, the big pieces of the DNS, and first, make sure that we've got them all, because it's from these things that the threat events come from. So, for example, just sticking with our major TLD zone and the zone file of that zone, then from there comes the threat event that zone file gets disrupted somehow by a threat source, whether it's malicious or not. The ones that are in green are the ones that we've already put into our list of threat events. a little bit bigger so that you can see it. But here are the threat events that we've already evaluated. And you can see that there's basically a one-to-one mapping between that list and the green stuff that's on this page. So, for example, support files we just evaluated at this level. We didn't go all the way down to the kind of support file. We left those as a blob underneath it. Whereas with the zone files of the TLDs, we went one layer down. We did the zone file, the DNSSEC, and the registrant provisioning. And we did that last one primarily to annoy Jorg and get his blood pressure as high as possible, which I think is a very important piece of our work, is to keep Jorg's blood pressure pretty high. But the rest of them, at one point or another, we thought were pretty important. When I went back and said, well, what about the root zone? Is there a parallel set of things for the root zone? I just didn't know the answers to those. So there are question marks besides these over here, because I am not that familiar with those kinds of parts of the DNS. And I just wanted to very quickly see if we needed to add an analysis of, say, the DNSSEC for the root zone. I'm pretty sure that the root zone is signed, but I wasn't sure enough to take my question mark away. So I just want to pause at this point before we dive into this and see if people are following what I'm saying, if you have questions about what I've said so far. I'm not seeing anybody's hand go up, so I'm presuming I'm okay. What I'd like to do is just very quickly see if we need to put out threat events for the DNSSEC. I'm just going to do these one by one. And I think what we'll do is we'll just use your checkmark agree signal if you think we should take a look at the threat event that says the DNSSEC for the root zone gets disrupted. And if it is, then we'll stick it into our list. So with that, how about it? DNSSEC on the root zone, A, does it exist, and B, should we evaluate the impact of it? Patrick, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. Patrick Jones. For the record, the root was signed in June, July of 2010, so it's there. I think we need to consider it. I sent to the ops list yesterday, and I probably should have just sent it onto the whole DSSA, the example from NASA.gov having a key issue, and Comcast has done a nice write-up on what happened, and I believe it's public. So this is an example of the risks of and the brittleness that may be introduced as more and more zones start using DNSSEC and more second level use becomes used of it. So it looks like Rosella's posted the link to it. That's very helpful. So this is the type of thing that the group should talk about.
All right. Well, we'll put it in the pile. I can't quite remember how I... be a short pause while Mikey learns his tools. Can't remember how I formatted this thing. I will just use check marks for now. I'll go back and fix that later. So this one gets in. How about the provisioning of the root zone? This is the parallel to the registrar-registrant provisioning. Are there provisioning systems, and if they were disrupted, that's something that we should Well, let's just stop with the, are there provisioning systems? I didn't know. I didn't know if that was a manual process or a highly automated process. Anybody who's familiar with the root zone want to weigh in on that? Patrick, are you close enough to the root zone to know how it's provisioned?
Well, I think someone that from one of the root operators should speak to this. So while ICANN does operate LROOT, I'm not on the LROOT DNSOps team. So I'd rather have someone that is part of one of the root operators talk specifically about this.
I don't know if we've got any of those folks on the call. We may want to leave this one for. Well, Patrick, I'm gonna pin you to the table like a butterfly because we don't have anybody else from a root operator on the call. What does LROOT do? Does it have automated provision?
I before I answer that, I want to defer that to the DNSOps team. So I can either check to invite you know, Joe Abley or someone from his group to be on next week, or we could see if there's someone else from one of the other root ops that appears on the call. Too bad Bill's not on the call today because this is right up his alley.
I think I'll put that on the – let's check back later. And, you know, the question, it's really a two-part question. One part of the question is there automated provisioning? It sounds like it's different for each route, so it would also be interesting to know whether it's the same system or not.
Yeah, my expectation is that it will be different for each operator, and not all of them use the same software and steps, and that's partly what makes the root operators resilient and that they do have some uniqueness.
Right. Yeah. Heterogeneous systems. Okay. We'll leave that one for now. So then the next four are the who is zone file access, data escrow, and bulk data access. It seems like who is doesn't exist at the root, but I didn't know, so I thought I would ask. Anybody want to educate me on that one?
Hey, Mikey, it's Patrick again.
Way to go, Patrick.
Yeah, so there is a, you know, IANA does have a Whois database, but and it's too bad that Mark about what Aaron does with their. I'd say unless there's someone else on the call that wants to talk about this, you know, defer it to next week as well.
Okay. And maybe what we should do. Tell you, I'm thinking we're going to have this same conversation all the way through this list. So rather than drag us bumping and screaming across all that pain, I think what I'll do is I'll just punt this back out to the list with some more specific questions so that smart people can just answer them on the list. Okay, so let's then go to the next change that I want to propose, which is that I'm think, well, actually, it's, it may be easier to see here. I'm thinking that if you look on this mind map, these are the threat events that we've evaluated so far against the threat source configuration users by privilege users. And as I went through that architecture thing, I decided it might be useful to make those more generic. So so that they could apply to different sources of threats. Because these don't really make sense when you make the sentence, a business failure of a key provider, and, you know, if I put that that part of the sentence together with this description, it doesn't make sense because this sentence includes the configuration error. And so what I did is I made more generic versions of all these so that then when we go through all these other threat sources, we get sentences that make sense. And so a business provider fails, which disrupts a major zone file. A business provider fails, and the root zone is not published. A lot of these, you know, still work as sentences, but I think we can pretty quickly eliminate a fair number of them. But before we went through and did all the voting, I wanted to make sure that this generic version of these conversations that we've already had make sense. They make sense to me, but I didn't want to just spring this on you without giving you a bit of a heads up that that's what we're doing. So again, here I'm just sort of looking for cries of anguish that this is a bad idea. And if it's okay, then we'll just keep going. Any thoughts on this one? The generic word overhaul. Yeah, this is part of that process that we went through last time where we ultimately said in our update to the community, we didn't have time to make it simple. I think as we make these more simple, they become more powerful. So, okay, so I'm gonna take that as a tentative okay. I'll highlight that we did this to people who aren't on the call on the list. And allow cries of anguish on the list as well. But for now, this is the way we're going to do it. Now, I want to just go through one more piece of checking with you before we carry on. Essentially, what we've done in this table is we've made the permutations mistake. Because instead of evaluating just the list of threat events, let me go back to the mind map here for just a minute. What the methodology says we ought to do is we ought to just take a look at the threat sources. And we ought to evaluate the range of their effects. So you can see down in the little pod that I'll just move around so that you can see this pod. That's the pod that's range of effects. And that's what we're supposed to evaluate the threat sources against. And the methodology doesn't have us doing the permutation business that we invented. The reason we invented it is because we said, well, look, configuration errors by privileged users, the range of effects varies depending on which threat event happens. So, and that's where we went off into the permutations thing. That's the good news. We get much more granular data and we get much better evaluations. The bad news is that we run into this scaling problem if we're not careful. And so what I'm thinking we might want to do is go through maybe one or two more of these really detailed ones and then step back and see whether we can revert to just evaluating the threat sources for their range of effects. We may not be able to do this, but if we can't, we're going to take a really long time to get through this work. And so I just want you all to be aware of the kind of balancing act that I'm working on right now. And so if some of you are feeling sort of dragged through this too quickly, the reason is because I'm trying to scale back the amount of work that we do to a point where we can get it done in a reasonable amount of time. And this is something that sort of came out when I was starting to prepare the slides for the updates in Costa Rica. And so my co-chairs haven't even seen this. And if you're all sitting there going, where the heck did this come from? It's because it showed up between Monday and Thursday. So with that, off we go. We're going to start voting again. And I think that I'm going to just do it on the table because the table is now starting to be a better way of displaying what we already know. You know, if we do the comparison between these two, is it safe to say that and the reason that I think that we might be able to chop this back is that once we've done a couple of these, we may be able to say, okay, the threat event where a major zone file gets disrupted has a pretty high relevance, which is what we're supposed to be evaluating these on. So we'll just see how this goes. And if it doesn't go well, we'll fix it again. But that's what I'm trying to fix. So, Natalie, now we are going to zoom off and start doing the voting. The first sentence that we're going to vote on is this one. And I hope that you all can read that on your screen. It's a little bit smaller. So if it's too small, you know, just give a shout. But if it's okay, I think it's useful to do it this way. Rosella is saying too small. Okay, so let me go up a notch and see. I've got a trade-off here of what to show. And I can't show what I want to show, which is I want to be able to show is the comparison between. Oh, no, I guess it's on there. All right. So we'll do. This is the one we're doing. But I've got the row 6 one up there so that you can see how we voted on its last incarnation. So the first question is, what's the range of effect if there's a business failure of a key provider, which in turn disrupts a major zone file? So this is the pod on the left, the range of effects. So 10 is a sweeping all the way down to 1, which is minimal. So now it's time to use your little scales and start voting. Don't all vote at once. The lack of voting meaning that I've totally confused you? If so, I could try it again. There we go. People are starting to vote now. Now remember, this is a major zone file goes away because of a business failure of a key provider. And I guess the question that comes to my mind is, why is it then when a major zone file goes away because of a configuration error, why is that different than when a zone file provider goes away? The zone file is still gone. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, so maybe I'll jump into this one. If it's a business failure of a large zone operator, the zone's probably not going to go away. There'll be either the operator will have made arrangements to transition that, or to at least preserve the TLD in the zone until a new operator can be found, or something will happen so that the names will still resolve and business can still be conducted, even though there may be a business failure. I might be wrong. So it looks like Olivier wants to talk as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivia here for the transcript. I'm working from memory here, but wasn't there an arrangement for escrow to be used in case a business failure happens, the zone can be immediately transferred elsewhere? Or am I just having some wishful thinking at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's at the registrar level for sure. That's the registry registrar fly.
Yeah, so this is Patrick again. At least in the generic space, all of the registries do escrow their data. And if there's a serious enough failure where we needed to go back to the escrow data to recreate a TLD zone, it can be done. We've tested it with certain operators, and it can be done. That's pretty extreme, though. I think in most cases where there's a business failure, there'll be a transition. One thing to keep in mind is that we really haven't experienced this with a key provider. There have been smaller operators that have been transitioned from one operator to another, or there have been many examples of TLDs that have been acquired and changed hands, and there's been no notice at all by the community. So a couple examples come to mind. .name was acquired by VeriSign. VeriSign ran the back end. They transitioned the operations of the business. Nobody noticed. Org was transitioned from the original operator, which was VeriSign as well, to PIR. It's too bad Jim's not on the phone to talk about that, but Don's on, and there was no loss of service for .org users when that TLD was transitioned from one operator to another. So, and that wasn't a business failure, but it's just an example of transitions of zones. And I see Jorg wants to talk as well.
Yes, thanks. So it's Jorg.
Go ahead, Jorg.
It's Jorg for the transcript. As far as I know, escrow will definitely be mandatory for the new gTLDs. As far as ccTLDs are concerned, I think we are not obliged to escrow our data, and for example, .de is not doing so. So we could not assume that escrow will be available for each and every registry. Nevertheless, I think Patrick was absolutely right, referring to the fact that even if there would be a registry failure, then the zone file will probably still be available, or it might be available in part of an older version. So it wouldn't be so effective all at once. And due to that fact, I think we could explain why the voting is probably a little bit lower than we saw with the zone file directly. Thanks.
Yeah, and see, this is where the problem comes in with what we're doing. And that is that what we're really doing is we're talking about what we think the likelihood's going to be. And what we're saying is we think the likelihood of the zone file going away is very low. And the question that's really being asked is not the likelihood question. That's going to come later in the analysis. The real question is, what's the range of effect if it goes away? And it seems to me that the range of effect is the same, which is, if it went away, it would be exactly the same effect as if it went away from any other cause. And so while I will dutifully record this, this is the puzzler that I'm trying to work my way through, is how we avoid conflating the analysis that's to come, which is the likelihood one, with this early one, which is just trying to understand the range of impact if it happened. And I'm a little concerned that what we've just said is that if a zone file goes away under one circumstance, it has a big impact. But if it goes away under another circumstance, it has a small impact. because in both cases, it's gone away. So that's the puzzler that I'm sort of chewing on in my mind. But I will record it and not get us any more stuck on this, because it's important to keep going. All right, so right now we have... Where am I here on my little chart? I'm going to switch over to recording here. On the, we have 7 votes for that. Okay, so the next thing to vote on...
Mikey, it's Olivier.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. Olivier, for the transcript. I'm a little confused now. You see a small impact, but we voted 5, which is wide-ranging, involving a significant portion of the cyber resources of the DNS. That doesn't look too small to me.
No, but it's smaller than what we voted up here. Where
and we were on the 8.
We were on the higher side. We were on the sort of 8 to 10-ish, mostly 8 range. And that's what's puzzling me about this, is that it would seem to me that the range of effect of the loss of a zone file is the same no matter what the cause of that loss is.
Maybe that, we're just psychologically getting used to threats.
That's right. We're getting immune. And so I think we have to puzzle about this. Maybe the co-chairs can beat this up. But Cheryl, go ahead.
Cheryl here. Actually, what Olivier said, I thought almost in jest, is probably quite accurate. When you're looking at scales that are actually as close as that, extensive and wide-ranging are perhaps ill-defined terms in some of our minds compared to others. When you have something that is not a quantitative metric, but rather a qualitative terminology, you will get drift between one set of... inputs from the same set of characters between different sessions. That's what statistical variation is all about. You have to do a non-parametric analysis to avoid that, or use only quantitative terms, not qualitative terms.
Yeah. Well, it's just a puzzler. We'll keep going this way, but I'm still scratching my head, both on the scaling problem and on the drift problem. I think we may have made a pretty fundamental error in combining these two into one table. But there you go. Okay, so now we're on to the relevance vote, which again is the confirmed all the way down to possible scale. And so this is one of those questions. Have we seen a major zone file go away? And maybe this is the place that I would be more comfortable with a pretty low vote. So then what we can have is that the range of impact would be the same, but the light, you know, perhaps this sort of predicted versus confirmed thing is where we embed the conversation about, you know, really the whole conversation about the safeguards that have been put in place. And almost what I'd like to see us do is not vote on the range of impacts with each one, but just vote on the relevance, which is the scale for the threat event that we're working on. So anyway, people are voting. That's great. I'm sort of being like a radio announcer and providing filler commentary. And meanwhile, I want to get into the chat. Jacques is saying, I think the context for this is a threat for a large DLD to go out of business unexpectedly, as opposed to a malicious and natural disaster recoverability of the zone. Jacques, are you able to jump on the bridge and unpack that one for me a little bit? I couldn't quite figure out what you were getting on that. Oh, no talk. All right, well, we'll give you a little time to type more slowly, and maybe you can just stick a few more words into that. I get the no talk problem. Meanwhile, we do seem to have put this at a pretty low end of our relevance scale, which makes me quite a bit more comfortable, because what this would do is it would knock this pair out of our subsequent analysis. Basically, this is the pruning that I'm hoping to see, so that we can wind up with not quite so many branches of our tree to analyze later on. And so I'll record that. And we'll move on to the next one, which is the disruption of a lesser zone file by business failure. In its parallel one up on line 7, we said that the range of effects of this would be pretty low. We tended to cluster around a 3. Let me clear the voting so that we can start voting on that. So this is the disruption of a lesser zone file due to the business failure of a key provider. And again, my tendency, if I was to do this, I'm not voting, as you may notice, but my tendency would be to go up and look at the vote that I did before and echo that, because the range of effect of a lesser zone file going away, it would seem to me, would be the same. And then the relevance, which is the one that's really tied to the business failure version of this, is where I would swing my vote. So with that, people are voting. Oh, let's see. Patrick's talking about the KPN Quest bankruptcy. Yeah, and there was...
Yep,
there was
Mikey. Patrick Jones again. So I have to dig up the write-up on this failure, that there was a pretty major bankruptcy for KPN Quest right around the dot-com boom, and it did have some impacts. I'm not going to describe it in the proper context, so what I want to do is go back in file and pull out something that I can then send to the list that provides more detail. If there's anyone else on the call that remembers this example and can talk to it, provide more detail, please do. Otherwise, I'll just go back and pull up the record. From what I recall, this did have some impacts that were not expected. So let me send that to the list.
Thanks, Patrick. Meanwhile, folks can continue to vote away. We've got 3 of our 7 voters in there right now. Climbing. Going once, going twice. I'm going to record it as 6 votes for 3. Okay, we'll call it 6 for 3. Whoa, it's red. I don't know why it's red. Artifact of something. All right, so then the next question is where Patrick's comment, I think, comes in, which is, the relevance, have we seen it? And what Patrick has just said is, yeah, we have seen that. So we still probably wind up with this not floating to the very top of the hit parade, because it doesn't have a huge impact, but it's quite relevant because we've actually seen it before, even either ICANN has seen it or our peers and partners have. So the votes are coming in at around 8 to 10. And then Bart's got a comment. KPN Quest is an interesting example of what happens. The first thing that happened was that the caretakers came in, and what happens next will depend very much on national law provisions. Ooh, that's a good one. Let me just steal that one for my little... Keep voting while I steal this. Staple it into our little mind map. Okay, so we're up to 5 votes. Whoops, getting ready to record this one as 4 votes for 10. Whoop. 1. I don't know why these are suddenly coming up red. I'll have to go figure out what I did. Some sort of cell artifact. Okay. The next one is when a business failure of a key provider causes the root zone to be published incorrectly. And this one, I've sort of combined two of these and said that our sort of simpler, more generic version of this is that the root zone is published incorrectly. And then the next one is it's not published at all. So with that, carry on with the voting. The first is the range of impact one. I'll evaluate the impact, the range of effect of the root zone being published incorrectly. Go ahead and vote. I like the animation. That's neat. Okay, we're up to 6. I'll call it done at 6 since we started having 7 votes, but we're pretty consistently down to 6 more recently. So we have 1, 2 at 10, 3 at 8, and 1 at 5. Okay, and then the other question, which is the relevance. So this is confirmed, it's actually been seen all the way down to possible, described by a somewhat credible source. That would be me. I'm thinking of Mikey as a somewhat credible source. So what do we think the relevance is? Go ahead and vote. Remember, this is the root zone being published incorrectly because of a business failure of a key provider. So that would have to be a provider of the root zone, one of the however many it is. Okay, we seem to have homed in on 3 for that one. Going once, going twice, I'm getting ready to record it. It's up to 6. All right. The next one is the same question, same pair of questions, except the root zone is not published at all due to the failure of a key provider. So this would have to be some sort of ripple effect between the providers so that as one of them failed, they took down the root zone for the rest, and the range of impact would be pretty dramatic. At least the early voting has it that way. And that's our 6, so I'm going to record it. And then the relevance one. Oh, we have 7. We're back to 7. Sorry, I missed that last vote coming in. Okay. Clear these. Now the relevance, which is the confirmed all the way down to possible. Go ahead and vote on the... how often we've seen that ripple effect actually happen. Wow, that was quick. Okay, now we're rolling. So we have 7 for the 1. All right. Next one. Same sort of thing, except now we're talking about the ionosone file.
Mikey, it's Olivier.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Olivier for the transcript. I noticed that in earlier instances, we actually noted 0 as well. But now, in the threat events relevance, we don't have a 0. So I wonder... I was rather tempted to vote 0 on this one.
That's interesting. It's tricky with the pods. Oh, shoot. Have I done that major confusion thing? Hang on just a minute.
Cheryl here for the transcript record.
Ahead,
I think we did discuss this, and yes, there has been a drift away from the 0. And I thought the reasoning was once we cleared up what we meant by relevant and the range of effect, and that where we had those a little muddy earlier on, that in under relevance, it would have to, for a 0, it would have to be an impossibility. And the impossibility of the threat, I wouldn't think there'd be many times that we vote that it would be impossible.
You know, I just can't remember.
Well, Olivia here, we've got a 0 earlier at the root zone, misconfigure the IANA zone file.
Yeah, and I don't want to... I think the 0 goes with the range of effects. I think it goes over here. But I can't remember.
It could go with the range of effects, but I can't... But it's recorded in the relevance to the DNS.
Yeah,
and I think that's an artifact of us having the muddy waters early on. Sorry, that was shut off the transcript record.
I'm going to type it in, and I will check after the call to make sure, and we'll record the 0. Because I can't remember. Sorry. That was a goof. My fault. Okay, so now we're on to the IANA zone. We might be able to get through this whole chunk today if we chug right along. Olivier, is that an old hand or a new one?
It's a new one, Mikey. I'm sorry. You've added a 0 there, but you didn't take... you now have 8 votes on this, and in fact, it was... my vote was originally a 1, and I moved it to 0. So
yikes.
Back to 6.
Good God. Computer's going crazy. There we go. All square. Okay, on to the IANA zone. where, again, we're doing the range of effects. If the IANA zone goes away, and in this case, Patrick, is there only one provider, or is IANA handed off across multiple providers too? This is another one of those architecture questions for you. Is ICANN the only publisher of the IANA zone?
So I believe that's correct.
Yeah, okay. So this would be...
So and this one is business failure of ICANN.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get
until at. Or unless there is a change of provider of the IANA functions in the future.
Yeah. So the range of impact if the IANA went away is what we're working on right now. And then in a minute we'll take a look at the relevance. But let's do the range of impact first. We've got a couple of votes at pretty high if it went away. Finish that out. Climbing slowly, there we go, up to 5, 6, going once at 6. All at 6. Poor Jacques. Too bad that you're not able to talk, Jacques. I see him typing in the chat. Okay, so ignore the red, and let's go on to the other half of this puzzler, which is what's the relevance? So this is the scale on the right side, the confirmed down to not applicable. Pretty solidly at 1. Going once at 5 votes for 1. Anybody want to drop a couple more on the thing before I record it? There we go, 7. Okay, next one is the DNSSEC is disrupted from a major provider. And first is range of effects. And this is where that NASA story is pretty interesting. Just to recap it a little bit, NASA misconfigured their DNSSEC, and Comcast dropped their, in that case, I think it was the second level, NASA.gov domain out of their DNS. And stopped delivering traffic to that, which made it appear that Comcast was blocking it, when in fact what was going on is that the DNSSEC had been misconfigured. So that's one layer lower than what we're looking at, but it certainly had a profound impact on NASA. So that's the description of the event, and the question would be, what would the impact be? The range of effects be if that happened to a major provider. You know, a major provider had a business failure. And this would probably be DNSSEC for the .com zone, for example, or the .de zone if it was signed. Jorg, I don't even know if .de is signed. And it would seem to me that if the thing that happened with Comcast is true, then what would happen is that zone would go away for a lot of people, because the the DNS would interpret that as an invalid zone. I mean, that's the whole point of DNSSEC, is to authenticate and verify the veracity of a given domain. So my thought would be is that if it was a major zone, it would be a big impact. It would be pretty much on the same level as losing the zone for anything else. So there's my color commentary while you all are voting. We have four votes so far. We have actually our first fairly widespread difference of opinion. Whoever voted one, do you want to chime in and try and lobby the rest of us as to why you think it's not a big deal? Oh, it's Jacques. Poor Jacques. Oh, well. We'll save that one for another day when you can talk on the phone. I'll just record it for now, because it's really hard to carry on that kind of conversation with... yeah, but the trouble is that it's deployed on major zones, and so as it gets deployed at the other end, at the ISP level, I mean, the thing that's interesting is the role of ISPs in this. And as they get more and more savvy to the DNSSEC on their end, it seems to me that the impact goes up. But that's a darn good point. I will add that to our notes while you're voting. Not that way. This way. Okay. Okay, I'm going to go back and record this one with 8 and 6 and... Bless you. Oh. Jacques, did you take your vote down? Or do you want to be... Okay.
Mikey, stop trying to manipulate.
I didn't do it. I just wanted to make sure that I recorded it right. Okay, I think we got it now. All right, so the next one is the relevance one. Have we seen it all the way down to described by a somewhat credible source, and I think the answer is we've certainly seen it at the second level, because that's Patrick's example. Whether we've seen it at a major provider, and again, this is due to business failure, not all cases, but this is, if there's a business failure, and in Patrick's example, that it wasn't a business failure, it was a configuration error. It was more the one that we were working on the last time. So this would have to be a bankruptcy that takes down the DNSSEC for a given major zone, rather than a... So, well, I seem to be confusing the issue. We've now... got a pretty wide. Let's see if we can have a bit of a conversation on the call about why we are so spread on this one. We aren't homing in. We're actually spreading apart. Anybody want to chime in as to why you voted the way you did? Because I don't think that we've seen this before, where a business failure has caused this. So I'm curious about the folks who voted 10.
Okay, you're losing people left, right, and center.
Oh, God, it's 9 o'clock. Sorry. Okay, we'll just stop right here. I'll record it, and we'll pick up the conversation at this point. Thanks, Cheryl, for the heads up. See you all next week. We're chugging along.
Thanks, Marky. Bye.
That's it for me.
I have to be at the other meeting as well.
Okay. We can
thank you,
stop
Tim. You may now stop the recording.